Michael O'Hanlon is an expert on Iraq with the Washington think tank, the Brookings Institution. He feels it is important to stress that although the major combat drawdown has occurred, there is still a strong U.S. military presence in the nation. We spoke with him about that and what is next for the forces in the nation.
We have not eliminated all combat capability from Iraq, and sometimes American domestic politics and domestic political rhetoric can get in the way of proper understanding of a foreign policy challenge. I'm a little concerned there's been an overemphasis on people trying to satisfy campaign pledges and claim that all combat capability is gone. In fact, we have 50,000 troops who are well-armed, and they're there to do a lot more than simply classroom advising and similar kinds of support tasks. They are there in such numbers precisely because they still do have combat capability, and not that we're going to take sides in a civil war, but we can do a lot to help do muscular peacekeeping, might be a nice way to put it. And that's very much an ongoing mission, and it will be for many months to come. We've rebadged these existing five brigades as advise and assist brigades, but that does not in any way imply they don't have combat capability. So that will tell you a little bit about what we do going forward, because we'll do a lot of the same things we've been doing going forward. We will continue to man joint checkpoints, which means that in places where there are tensions between Sunni, Shia, Kurd, Turkoman, Iraqi units and peoples, we will try to help them calm their nerves, stabilize the situation, build confidence. We'll do joint patrols with them, especially in disputed areas like in the north where the Kurds and the Arabs still have competing claims to the same territory. And that's the kind of thing that will remain quite important for a while. But the even broader issue, of course, is Iraqi politics, and that may be where you want to go next.
Yes, I was. You read my mind. What is the situation there as far as the political nature of the country?
First of all, I give Iraqis a lot of credit. You know, they've come a long way, and in this short space of 3 years since the civil war began to end, they've patched a lot of wounds, and they've started to have politics across sectarian lines, where Sunni and Shia are often cooperating with each other, even if there are still very severe tensions. Their political system is challenging because it's not like ours where you just elect a president from two main choices or you elect a member of Congress from two main choices and then whoever gets the most votes basically wins. It's a lot more complex, and there are five major groups that won a lot of votes, and that means they have to form a majority coalition out of some combination thereof, and there's no clear rules in Iraq on how to do that. Frankly, we deserve at least a little of the blame for not making those rules more clear when we help negotiate their constitution or help them come up with their constitution. So they're going to have to figure out some kind of power-sharing deal, which is tough, especially when you've had a country at war and when there's no sort of honest broker to adjudicate between these different groups. And so I think we're going to have to continue to be patient, but perhaps even play a little stronger role as Americans in giving them some friendly advice, because while I think Vice President Biden and others have done well to try to play a deferential behind-the-scenes role in recent months, that's not getting the job done, and we may have to step up our involvement just a bit.
Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington.